Mad Gains Radio. Today we're going to have a three-pronged show that focuses on the NBA with Mark Stein from ESPN.com. We're going to talk about the Celtics. Interesting thing. One of the things that happens, we learned this with the Chiefs in the 1980s, and the turnaround with Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson, is the habit of losing can be replaced by a habit of winning. Unfortunately, the reverse is also true. And so what happens with the Celtics is the psychology of winning has been replaced by losing. They're looking for ways, if you will, to avoid losing, and that compounds itself, of course, with the injury to Paul Pierce. We're going to talk with Mark Stein today about that and the leadership roles of the younger players. We're going to talk about the interesting attitude towards the dunk contest. Whatever happened to what was once considered one of the most fantastic displays of athleticism on the planet, the NBA dunk contest, and why players have become so, well, so jaded about it. We're going to talk about the Mavericks versus the Suns and how he feels they are the dominant teams in the league, and why there always seems to be this dominant conference, i.e. the Western Conference. We're going to talk about Allen Iverson and why the Nuggets as yet have not quite shown the promise they hoped with the addition of Iverson, and with Melo back, I'm sure that that will begin to turn around. And also, we're going to talk about Pau Gasol and the trade deadline and some of the ideas that go into that. Every year, the trade deadline becomes such an interesting, sexy topic in the midst of the year. Who can help themselves? Just like in baseball, in that long stretch towards the championship. In our next segment, we're going to have Nick Swisher, one of the great young personalities in Major League Baseball with the Oakland A's. Hit 35 home runs last year, 95 RBIs, a dynamic personality, and a guy I think that will be part of a young generation of stars for the A's and for Major League Baseball. And finally, we'll finish with a very special segment with Herman Edwards, a very close friend, if not the best friend, of Tony Dungy, along with Lovie Smith. That three triumvirate, if you will, led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the turn of this century. And Tony, I'm sure, would like to have a Herman Edwards talk about what is special. Tony's too humble to talk about it himself. We'll talk with Herman Edwards about this accomplishment, about what it means, not just for a race, but for the leadership model that Tony Dungy himself represents. It's all on Head Games Radio. Stay tuned for it. It's going to be a great show. We'll see you in a minute.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEG-AM loans. This is not a bi-weekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
That was our buddy Charles Barkley. Mark Stein, ESPN.com, you are the grand poobah. How are you?
Very well, Nick. How are you?
Good. Just how many years did it take for you to feel like you really had a grasp of all the different undercurrents, the politics, the skill sets, the teams, the ownership of the NBA? I mean, if you wanted to be a PhD in the NBA, how many years would it take?
I don't know that I'm there yet, but this is, I think, my 14th season, and it's the greatest league in the United States. No offense to your former profession, but I love every minute of it.
Well, let's start with that. Let's start with the leadership of a David Stern, who many people consider to be the best commissioner in Major League Sports. What makes the NBA so well-run, and the fact that they have been able to take what was a personality-driven league, I think, with a Michael Jordan, I mean, the cult of one, even though there were some outstanding other talents as well, to a league that now is taken on more of a momentum that's separate from the individual personalities?
Well, it's funny, you know. I mean, you say it's the best run, and I do think Stern has the reputation of being the strongest commissioner in sports. But you know, maybe this is the proof that it is on top, because the NBA also seems to take more hits than any other league. And you know, I think this year, what's probably, you know, the brawl in New York was awful, and it was, you know, but it was certainly not the you know, a black eye or statement of doom, or, you know, we're going down a horrible path. It's never the Armageddon that it's made out to be in the moment. And I think the best thing about that was, this year more than any other, I heard a lot of discussion after the brawl about how NBA players are just treated much more harshly in the media for their transgressions than they are in the NFL and some of the other major sports. And this year was the first time we really had a good dialogue about that people are finally starting to see that it hasn't been fair, that this league, which obviously has a majority of black players, that these guys have been taking heat for their missteps. You know, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. What have they had, 9 players arrested in the last 9 months? You know, they haven't gotten nearly the heat that NBA players get when issues arise in this league. So I think that's really been the positive. But I'd say overall, you know, the NBA probably gets more heat than bouquets, I would say.
Yeah, and the bouquets I threw out was to David Stern. I think the NFL overall is a better-run league because it's so complex. You're dealing with 50 and 55 players. You're dealing with, you know, 32 different owners that, you know, I think are dealing with a much greater pot. And the complexity of the NFL, the different rules changes, I think they've managed it clearly from a demographic standpoint. The NFL is more popular. But David Stern has been able to create and shape this league in a way that has been more obvious, I think, perhaps than any other commissioner in the NFL.
Well, I think, you know, one of his biggest lasting legacies, certainly, you know, globalization is the big deal to him. He wants this to be a worldwide brand. You know, soccer happens to be my favorite sport besides the NBA, and, you know, that's certainly a global game where it's actually much bigger everywhere else but the United States. But I'd say the NBA is right there with it. It's, you know, you can't really say closing the gap, but it definitely has a global presence and kind of models itself after soccer. I know that is important to Stern, that his game is, you know, this All-Star Games next week in Vegas is going to be televised in 50, 60 countries. There's going to be reporters there from all over the world. But honestly, I would say the bigger legacy for Stern would be the salary cap. The NBA was the first league to go to it in 84. It's given teams like San Antonio a chance to be a powerhouse, even though they're in, you know, a much smaller market, and we've seen the NFL go to it. We've seen the NHL go to it. You know, baseball hasn't yet.
The best thing that ever happened to the NFL. Absolutely. The best thing that happened to the NFL, except for some of the other things. Yeah, I think it's really created some, frankly, for those sponsors, those investors that know, along with labor peace, a salary cap keeps some moderation and some sanity to the increase in salaries.
Well, as a fan, I think you want to start the year knowing that every team has a chance. You don't want to... Now, baseball, to its credit, even, you know, I don't follow baseball that closely, but it seems like in the last few years, with, you know, even though the Yankees are spending more money than everybody else, they're not winning it every year, and we have had some smaller market teams be able to come through and win. But in general, you know, I think there are a lot of baseball fans who probably start the season knowing their team has no chance, and at least with a salary cap, you do have a chance, and it gives fans everywhere, you know, a little bit of hope.
Let's go through a little rapid fire in our last 5 minutes here with Mark Stein from ESPN.com. Charles Barkley was on the show last week, and it's always interesting to see that all of the leagues, the three major leagues, in Major League Baseball, the American League has the dominance, in the National League, the NFL itself, the AFC has the advantage. And, of course, as Charles was saying, the Eastern Conference is getting destroyed by the Western Conference. Here's Charles.
Yeah, and the scary thing is...
22-1 against the Eastern Conference. I says, first of all, who cares about the Eastern Conference?
The Eastern Conference stinks.
Sad reality is it's getting worse. The gap is only growing. And it's crazy because in recent years, the Eastern Conference has even been able to draft the better players, you know, getting a LeBron James, in the 2003 draft, which is, you know, ranks as one of the all-time best drafts. You know, three of the four best players in that draft went to Eastern Conference teams with LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh. So there is no shortage of star players in the East, but depth-wise, you compare the rosters, the Western Conference rosters are just so much deeper, and it's a gap that's...
How can that happen? I mean, it's not like they have some competitive advantage to start with.
No, that's the thing. It's, there's nothing easy you can pinpoint or the league would have tried to fix it or change it. I mean, they love to say that these things are cyclical, but... It doesn't look like the cycle is going to end anytime soon. And now you could say, okay, well, Eastern Conference teams have won two of the last three titles, and that's true. But as you can't just worry about the finals. You've got to worry about the season as a whole. And if you've got Eastern Conference teams getting pummeled all season long, you know, that's not good for business in those Eastern Conference cities. So, it is a problem. And I'd love to be able to tell you, you know, how they're going to fix it, but I don't think anybody has those answers.
Speaking of problems, injuries, of course, when a team is only five players, one player can make a huge difference, and that's no more obvious than with Paul Pierce with the Celtics. Is it the fault of a general manager to not have I'm reminded of the Chicago Cubs, you know, with two pitchers that are continually injured and how that has killed their competitiveness. And here in the NBA, Paul Pierce is injured, and they have barely won a game since then.
Well, look, I can tell you that Celtics management is not really broken up about that. I mean, their hope, you know, they want to build around Paul Pierce. They've committed to Pierce. Pierce says he wants to stay. So, you know, if Pierce would have been healthy this year, they're still so young around him that, you know, in a best-case scenario, that's a 500 team that maybe sneaks into the playoffs. But Pierce being injured, it's given them a chance to sit him. They're in no rush to bring him back. I'm sure... You know, they're not going to come out and say this, but I'm sure they, I'm sure they privately explained to Paul it's better for the long-term health of the franchise if you don't play this year because, you know, they're getting their young guys some playing time that they need. They're going to get a high pick. This draft, by all accounts, is going to be one of the deepest in years. So if they get a top 2-3 pick, which they should if the lottery is good to them this time, they'll either be able to keep that pick and get a top-flight young player, or they're going to have a lot of trade interest in that pick and be able to move for a veteran like a Pau Gasol and get P. Pierce the help he sorely needs. But I know people in Boston are skittish about the word tanking, because if you go back 10 years, you know, they were supposed to win the lottery and get Tim Duncan, and they got the third pick and really have never recovered.
We've only got 20 seconds. Pau Gasol, trading deadline's looming ahead. What are the chances that Boston will get him?
I don't think Pau will be moved before the trading deadline. I think Memphis will wait and try to get better offers as they get closer to the draft.
Okay, final questions for you. Mark Stein, NBA.com. Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash. Who's going to be the NBA at the end of the NBA most valuable player at the end of the season?
I think the guy whose team wins the West, that they're so close, the teams are so have separated themselves from everybody else. I think whoever's team ends up with the best record in the league, that's the guy who's going to win MVP.
My prediction is that when Nowitzki comes to Phoenix, and in the past Steve Nash has cooked dinner for him, and they've gone out, they spend time, it's going to get so competitive that they'll close those doors. They won't be friends anymore.
Don't bet on that one.
One of the class acts in the league. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Hope to have you on soon.
All right, Nick. Take care.
Take care. Mark Stein, NBA.com, ESPN.com. When we come back, Nick Swisher from the Oakland A's. We're going to talk about what you do to get ready for a season, a 200-game season, with one of the more bright young stars in Major League Baseball. Stay with us.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-50. Go win. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back. We want to thank Mark Stein from ESPN.com on the NBA. And now we're talking to one of the future, current, and rising stars of Major League Baseball, Nick Swisher. How are you?
Hey, Nick. What's happening, brother?
Listen, man, you and Eric Burns are two of my favorite people. When I look at the new generation of players, you guys are swimming in money. Well, you're about to be, I'm sure. But the reality is you still got to focus on getting ready for the season and also find a way to have some fun. I mean, what is your secret to enjoying this incredibly endless baseball season?
Well, I tell you what, man. I mean, if you've ever seen me play or this and that, you know I'm all about having fun. I mean, whether it's whether we're going out playing a game or whether I'm going golf with my buddies. I mean, I picked up two hobbies. I picked up golf and I picked up bowling. I just went and bought my own bowling ball yesterday. So that's kind of one of those things that kind of keeps me, just away from everything and just getting to relax, because I'm at the yard so much and I'm working out so hard trying to get myself physically ready. I think that the mental side of it really takes a toll, and I think that's one of the things I also need to work on.
And you, I learned you were a place kicker. I mean, you tell us that little story about kicking a 45-yard field goal against a pretty well-known Ohio State kicker.
No, me and Josh Houston, we Nugent and Houston, we were all there. And so one day I started goofing around with the fellas, and I said, hey, I'd like to kick a little bit. So they kind of looked at me, football guys. I was just a baseball guy. No one knew, what was going on. So we went on that little kicking contest and went back to 45 and ended up making it. And ended up just walking off the field. And I think I left them with a nice little jaw-dropping incident. So it was fun.
Well, you guys, sometimes you're not given the credit for being the athletes that you are. Let's talk about what you've been doing since more of the talk is usually about things like steroids. Let's talk about what you actually do to get stronger. I mean, what are the things that baseball players do today that they didn't even think about doing 20 years ago?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we lift. It's funny because I talked to my dad, and lifting was not a part of his regimen back when he played, because that wasn't the big thing. People were scared you were going to get too bulky, you're going to get too tied up, and you weren't going to be able to go out and perform the way you're supposed to. But for me, if it wasn't for the weight room, I there's no way I would be standing here even, on the phone with you today. This offseason I changed my regimen up a little bit. Instead of just going to the gym and doing my regular weights and this and that, I worked out at a barn in the offseason, sort of a Rocky type,
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We went out and we do the regular workout, and then after that we started mixing in functional training, certain things that you would start doing. And my best buddy Matt Ward is a rancher, or used to be. Now he's working on being a farrier. And what a farrier is a person that puts the shoes on horses. And just the growth that I've seen him get in strength and the way he looks. He's just been out there baling hay, throwing hay, digging ditches, stuff like that. So this off season, we went and did just certain stuff like chopping trees, busting up concrete, pushing my truck up and down fields, just certain things that'll push me to that next level.
Well, I got a quote from somebody that about one of the more interesting side stories of the World Series. Here's Eric Burns.
I don't blame Kenny Rogers for putting something on his head. I don't blame him for looking for that better grip. I don't even think it probably affected the game that much. If you want to talk technicalities, though, you got to look at this. Just the rules of the game state that you can't have any foreign substance out there. And if you do, it's immediate ejection and a 10-game suspension. So if you look at it that way, the bottom line is I don't care how cold it is out there, you're not allowed to have it.
What's your perspective, you look on that, the fact that Tony La Russa did not let that be an issue, and in the end, it didn't matter?
Well, I mean, Tony's a great guy, and, I guess that if he thought that one little incident was going to affect him and his team, then, I think he would have said something. But I think he had enough confidence in him and also his, his team to get them to the point where, something like that wouldn't bother. Although it was a little funny at the time, but, who really knows what it really was, so...
Speaking of pitchers, Nick Swisher, the loss of a Barry Zito. Tell me about the leadership on your team and how you guys deal with the loss of that kind of an important player.
Well, obviously. I mean, the guy's the highest-paid pitcher in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's definitely a big part of the puzzle that's missing. But, the one thing that the A's have thrived on doing in past years is, regardless of what person has left, there's always been that next guy to come up and fill the spot. And, you know, not only him, but losing Frank Thomas. You know, we lost Jay Payton. I mean, those are two or three huge guys that we lost, and three good buddies of mine. That's what I'm learning about this game, man, is that you can become friends, but you never know what's going to happen the next day.
And tell me about Frank Thomas and what he added, and how much of those rumors about personality and the negativity that was in Chicago were really just exaggerations based on maybe one or two personality conflicts up there.
Well, I think so. I just think that people believe way too much in what they read. You get one person that has one opinion, and because he's a very influential person, and people like to believe what he says in the paper or what he writes. I think that's ridiculous. You know, maybe I'm a little biased because Frank's one of my best buddies now. Not only was he a wonderful teammate, but he's just a great friend. I mean, anything I needed, regardless of what time it was, you know, I mean, he was always there for me, anything I needed. So for all those people that wrote all those bad stuff about him, I think those guys are ridiculous because they have absolutely no idea. You know, he might have been in a bad mood that day. And athletes don't always want to talk to the media. I mean, I know it is part of the job, but... You know, hey, some guy wrote some bad stuff about it, people started believing it, and now that's the rap he has. And I think it's a ridiculous rap because he's an awesome guy, an unbelievable person, and a great family man. So,
you know, it's interesting how you can get pigeonholed in any sport based on a couple people, a couple things that happen. With Frank Thomas, do you think he made a mistake by leaving, though, when Oakland had welcomed him, when the chemistry there was so good that it was conducive to his success?
Well, I can't blame him. I was in Europe at the time when he signed, and then when I came home, I found out he was going to the Blue Jays. I called him first thing and said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he said, "Swish, I tried to call you, man." And then I had like 10 messages missed from him. But you know, I think Oakland was where he really wanted to stay. But I can't blame the guy, man. This is just a last hurrah. He's got a couple more good years in his body. And, best of luck to him. I mean, I know that, you know, the one thing that I guess you can always think of is you got to get it while the getting's good. And the getting has been good for him this past year. I wish we could have him back, but, hey, you know, that's just kind of how things work out sometimes.
Let's talk about Billy Beane. We've talked on the show with Theo Epstein and Josh Burns and some of the general managers around the league down there in Atlanta about the styles of leadership that the managers provide and also general managers. One of the things I'm always interested in is how much communication happens with the general manager. Do you ever hear some feedback from them in terms of their expectations about your role? How well do the players individually feel that their roles are well defined for them so they know what the expectations are and what they should be doing?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And for us, I think we got the, you know, I've never ever had another one, but I don't see one ever being better than Billy Beane in our general manager. I mean, he's an absolute genius. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has a game plan for everybody, even though, you know, sometimes we never ever really know what they are. But, hey, I mean, that's just why you just go out there and keep playing hard. He's a guy that you want to play for. He's a guy that if you do something wrong, which, you know, I've done a couple times, I mean, you know, he's gonna get on you a little bit. But once you walk away, he's going to give you that, you know, pat on the butt and say, "Hey, man, I got your back anytime you need it." So he's a hands-on guy. I love that. You know, he's got some fire, and I think that's someone that you want to play for.
Nick Swisher, how many of the managers that you work with and the coaches have taken the time to sit you down and say, you know, this is what we expect of you. This is your role. This is where you can improve. Because my experience has been, surprisingly, even at that highest level of that sport, it often doesn't happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've developed a couple great relationships with some of the coaches that have came through and left. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's one of the things where when I was, you know, growing up around the game, I guess I expected so much of myself that regardless of what anyone expected from me, my expectations were so much higher. Just like I think any great athlete would, I always wanted to surpass everything that people thought I was going to do. And so, I mean, hey, maybe my goals are set too high, but I would much rather try and reach for something so far away rather than pick a goal that I knew I could obtain and feel good about myself. Because in that sense, it always keeps me working. It always keeps me moving to that next level.
You guys seemed to have a pretty good chemistry last year. Was it a big surprise to you to have your manager fired?
I don't know. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, Billy Beane knows what he's doing. And regardless of whatever move he makes, you know, I know for me, I've got his back 110% because, I mean, he's the reason I'm here today. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, losing Maka, I mean, obviously there were some things that some of the guys said that, you know, they didn't get along with. But, hey, I mean, everyone's got their own opinion, just like, you know, anyone's entitled to. And, you know, we're just really excited right now for Bob Guerin to take over the reins. And really excited to see what, you know, what kind of manager he's going to turn into.
When we come back, we're going to go to break. When we come back in our last couple of minutes with Nick Swisher, we're going to talk about Bob Guerin, about the new manager, guy that's never been a manager before on the major league level, and what that means, how he's setting this up. Because Head Games is all about Head Games, all about how the coach leads those players and guys that are tremendously talented sometimes can do a lot better with great leadership. When we come back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. And coming up, Herman Edwards, Chiefs coach and best friend of Tony Dungy. We'll be right back.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the best seats for the biggest events. Go to TicketsNow.com today and select from the largest selection of premium seats for every major sports, concert, or theater event in North America. Available now at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at HomeBiz47.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Paggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
Hey, motorsports fans, it's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks, motorsports radio redefined. Join Lugnuts, Crash Gladys, Statman Carruthers, and myself each and every Saturday afternoon and Sunday nights on the Sports Byline USA Network. Saturday afternoons, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday nights for the granddaddy, 10 to midnight Eastern, all right here on the Sports Byline USA Network. Off-road to open wheel, NASCAR to drag racing, you get the real deal with the Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline USA Network.
Well, I don't like to politicize it because it's not about being a Democrat or a Republican. They both suck, to be honest with you.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Coming up in a few minutes, Herman Edwards, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, on Tony Dungy, and for that matter, on Lovie Smith and their qualities of leadership. But Nick Swisher, we're really enjoying this. I thought I'd share with you an interview I did with Jim Palmer about how some teams have better, shall we say, mentoring from the older players to the younger players. Here's Jim Palmer.
Well, you know, normally with the Yankees, it's very difficult as a young player to come up and succeed. But if you look
at last year, Robinson Cano comes up, and, you know, Jeter really helps him out very, you know, and he goes on to have a very good year, almost won a batting title this year in his second year in the major leagues. He did have the hamstring injury, so he missed about 6 weeks. But, you know, Melky Cabrera came up because of the injuries to, you know, Hideki Matsui in left field, and then, of course, Sheffield hurt his wrist and was out about 2.5 months. So I'm not sure if they missed that. I just think the big difference with the Yankees was that the Tigers had better pitching.
He talked about, though, the specifics of some teams having, as he came up in the leagues, the same thing. Somebody there, you talk about, you know, Frank Thomas, but somebody that you can go to get perspective, to not take things too personally, to focus on the individual day-to-day work, the discipline that leads to a great career.
Well, I think for me, you know, Frank was definitely that guy that I could go to and talk to. I mean, just like, you know, man, I mean, you know, playing in the NFL for all them years, and your game was between your ears. I mean, that's where the game of baseball comes into play, too. And, you know, Frank was a guy that I could go to, and his thing was the mental side of the game. And, you know, my philosophy is if you didn't have the athletic talent to be there, then you wouldn't be there. Someone else would. So now the thing is you really have to work on the mental side of the game, get yourself ready to go out there and play at the top of your game every day, and go out and get it done. And also, you know, guys like Jason Kendall and Mark Casse have helped me along the way. Chavi's helped me. I mean, there's just so many guys that have really pieced together things, and, you know, I'm just glad that I've got those guys in my corner.
What was missing from the A's? You guys had an electricity about you early in the postseason and seemed to be, on a certain momentous ride. What do you think was missing and that you need to work on this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just think, you know, we kind of lost some momentum going into the Detroit series. We had those 3 or 4 days off, and I think the same thing happened to us that happened in Detroit in the World Series. You know, if you look at the Cardinals, they just kept playing every day, man. They just kept going through and through. And ended up keeping that momentum and ended up getting, you know, ultimately, you know, winning the World Series. But, I mean, 4 games away from the World Series ain't too shabby. I mean, everybody thought as soon as we got to the, you know, the playoffs, we faced Minnesota, everybody thought we were going to get swept. And we went out and did the opposite of what everyone thought. And I think that's one of the things we take a lot of pride in is we're the underdogs. People look at us and they never think we're going to do well, you know, by looking at us on paper. And then we ended up going out and having a heck of a year last year. But saying missing something, I don't think we were missing anything. I just think, you know, the timing wasn't right. We went into a blazing hot team in the Tigers, and they ended up putting it to us.
Isn't it interesting how momentum, though, makes a big difference? I mean, Detroit had all the momentum, then they have a week off, and they come back and they make a major league record error every single game by the pitchers.
I think it's just the same thing. I mean, if you look at them, I mean, you look at the Ohio State Buckeyes, even though I'm a little biased, I think that if the
maybe a little,
you know, they didn't have 52 games off in between, I think they would have done a lot better. But, hey, I mean, that's sometimes how it goes. So you just got to, you know, just learn from it and move on.
Well, buddy, before we let you move on, tell me about your buddy Luke Appert. I want to get a shout-out to him. And when you see a young player that's got the hitting side down, he's working on his speed and his defense, how does that remind you of what it took for you to make it?
Well, definitely. It's funny. Luke and I have been playing against each other since most of our freshman year in college. As a matter of fact, Luke beat me out for the Big Ten Player of the Year our sophomore year. So he's kind of got that hanging over my head all the time. But not only that, he's just a great kid, and he's a good person to be around. And I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it just seems like you always got people tugging at you in certain directions in this game. And, I mean, hey, just getting, you know, for somebody like him and any advice that I could help him with, I'm all for it. Because not only is he a hard worker, you know, he's a guy, he wants to succeed. And there's plenty of other things he could be doing right now, making a lot more money than what he's making now. But he chose baseball. And, you know, and I got to give him a lot of credit for that because he wants to succeed. He wants to do as well as he can. And, you know, and I'm glad he came down and trained with me for a couple of weeks before he had to go back to Minnesota.
Nick, after the Chargers had that surprising loss against the Patriots, I called Marty Schottenheimer, my former coach, the next day, and he was involved, as he always does, in an entire day of meetings, one-on-one, with every single member of that team. I mean, that's over 50 players. And it brought back memories of what it was like to sit down with them, because you usually don't get one-on-ones with the head coach in football. Tell me about Bob Guerin and what he has done since November 17th when he was hired to, you know, have that one-on-one relationship and that chemistry develop with you and with the other players.
Well, I think the one thing that he did that gained a lot of respect from me in my book is as soon as he got the job, he called every single player, left messages, you know, talked to the guys. You know, because we've all known Bob for a couple of years now, and I've never gotten the opportunity to play for him as a manager in the minor league, but I'm going to get my opportunity this year. And you know, he's one of those guys that, I mean, you know, he's a catcher, and in my mind, I think catchers are the smartest guys on the field at all times. So he put together, you know, him and Billy put together a great you know, coaching staff. We got some new guys coming in. You know, really looking forward to working with those guys. But you know, he's done a great job. I mean, he's a people person. You know, he does a good job with the media, and he does a good job with getting along with us players. And I think that's what you want as a player. You want a manager that has your back at all times. You know, if you go out there and get in an argument, you want him standing right next to you. And I think that's what he's going to do for us this year and bring us something that we haven't had in the past.
One of the things that is talked about by people in the media is the sort of class system that can also break apart teams, which is younger players or certain players that are paid, you know, one-tenth of what the stars are. How do you guys handle that on the team when you have one guy that's making $15 million, another guy that's making maybe just a few hundred thousand? Does that make a difference?
I mean, for me, I guess I look at it differently than most other people look at it. You know, my philosophy is hopefully my day's coming one of these days. And the guys that are making the money they are right now, congratulations. But the one thing that you have to remember about that is these guys earned that money. They deserve that money. And just like, you know, the guys that played a long time ago, they put us in the situation that we are today. And, you know, you got to thank those guys for that, especially the way things are going with the market the way it is now. But I don't know, man. I mean, you know, my philosophy is the guys that are making the money they are now, they deserve it, and they earned it. So, you know, good for those guys. Have fun with it, and, you know, hopefully one of these days I can be up there with
them. With regard to the power players in the game, what has been the most important thing that you've done to make sure that you maintain and improve your power, Nick, but you don't damage your flexibility? We started off with this, and we'll let you go here in a second. But in the old days, when those guys were pumping straight heavy bar lifting and they were worried about losing their flexibility, what is the new thing that's available to players today that allows them to maintain the dexterity while they improve their strength?
Well, I think the one thing that helped me out for a while is, you know, I'm not scared to admit it now. I was when I first started, when I started doing the Bikram yoga. And that's, you know, when you
Bikram
go
yoga, that's hot yoga, right?
Yeah, that's when it's like 110 degrees and you're in there for 90 minutes. And you want to talk about it, just a total body detox of everything. Not only that, but making sure...
And you need that.
Exactly. And, you know, also, you know, just going in there, making sure that your body stays loose and limber, because regardless of how strong you are, I mean, you look at bodybuilders, these guys can't go out there and swing a baseball bat. So the one thing for us is we have to keep that strength, but we also have to keep that flexibility, exactly what you were saying. I mean, it's just like anything with kicking. I mean, probably the more flexible you are, and the stronger your leg can be, obviously the farther and more accuracy you're going to have in your kicks. And that's
there's an interesting relationship there, absolutely. Hey, listen, Nick, we got to let you go. Got Herman Edwards on the line, but, man, we're going to wish you good luck. We'll check in with you every few weeks to see how you're doing.
That sounds good, bud. Thanks for having me on, Nick. Take care of yourself.
Good luck. Nick Swisher, future MVP of Major League Baseball. You heard it here. Speaking of MVPs, a guy that has injected a tremendous amount of confidence and energy into the Kansas City Chiefs organization, Herman Edwards. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Nick. How about you?
Well, I know you're busy, and I just wanted to take some minutes here. Because of your close relationship with Lovie and with Tony, what's it feel like? Did it transport you back to those years in 2000, you know, when you guys are turning things around in Tampa Bay and you're training yourself, you're mentoring yourself to see this come to its fruition?
Well, I think we enjoyed the time that I actually went down there Monday and interviewed Tony and Lovie for NFL Network. So I met with him Tuesday, and we really kind of talked about, you know, how we really started it off in Tampa. We were trying to build an organization that really didn't have a lot of confidence, really didn't have a really good direction in where it wanted to go. And I thought Tony put his stamp on it. You know, he had great vision, great focus, great leadership, and Tony and my, and Lovey and myself were there with him when he built that, and you know, it's gone on from there. I mean, Tony left, went to Indianapolis, Lovey left, and obviously went to the Rams first, and then with Chicago, I had left and went to New York, and now I'm here. But we talked about those good times and how hard it was in the beginning to change people's attitudes, because we all believe the same thing. It's your attitude really kind of dictates where you're going to go in life, and I think if you have a positive attitude and you look at things that way, you can be successful a lot quicker than the other way.
And changing attitudes is about repeating the same things over and over. It's also about repeating and modeling the behavior itself. So, you know, here you have a guy in Tony Dungy and Herman Edwards and Lovie Smith, three guys that are trying to model that behavior as well. When you say it was hard for that to take hold in Tampa Bay, how long did it take?
Well, for us, our first year, we struggled. We struggled early. I mean, we were 0-5. You know, people fail to realize that. We were 0-5. But I think the great thing is Tony never lost. He never lost his ability to stay focused on the job at hand. And I think the players believed in that. He was very, very consistent. And we kept doing things consistently. We said, we're going to do it this way. This is how we're going to do it. We never buckled. We never fell into the trap of listening to the distractors. We just kept doing what we did, and the players started believing in it. And then about the second year, we got to the playoffs. We ended up being 6-10 that year, and we flipped it and got 10-6. And then we started rolling, and then it became – it became the Tampa Bay that people, you know, when Tony was down there, respected, and we won a lot of football games, went to the NFC Championship game a couple times, and then Tony went on to Indianapolis, and Lovey went on to the Rams, and then Chicago, and I went on to New York.
And look at the history and how it's played out. I almost played against Tampa Bay in that championship game in St. Louis, ironically the day when Derek Thomas was paralyzed, and I was watching that game. I had tried out earlier in the week, and it's very distinct for me. What was the change that you saw, if anything, or refocus, if you will, or distinction that Tony brought with him to Indianapolis from all those years where even the very next year Tampa Bay won the championship?
Well, I thought the players in Indy knew that they were going to get a coach that was very, very consistent. He was he didn't change. You know, he was going to be this way. He did it his way. Tony's a teacher. Lovey's a teacher. You know, Tony's parents were teachers, and so he believed in teaching players. Lovey has the same kind of philosophy. My father was in the military, so I understand about teaching details, being disciplined. And that's what Tony brought to the table, to Indy. And that, along with a track record of going to the playoffs.
Herman Edwards, when we come back, we'll just have a couple minutes. I'd love to focus on the notion of serenity, that you and Lovey, and of course in particular Tony Dungy, have a serenity in the midst of the fire. You know, for instance, when a Larry Johnson's being held to 32 yards and you're in the playoffs playing against him, and yet you have to maintain that discipline and that focus and not let it all hang out. When we come back, we're going to talk with Herman Edwards. Final comments on Tony Dungy and the leadership of, let's say it, a genius in the NFL. We'll be right back.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. TermBusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Different for the message is not different, because that's what I've always tried to get across to my guys, that hey, we are in this, we're wanting to win, the Super Bowl is the goal, but your family and your life, that's what's important, and you are going to have situations where you aren't going to have people with you forever, and so if you've gotten consumed by going to the Super Bowl and you miss the time with your family, you miss the time with your parents, you miss the time with your friends, it's not going to be worth it at the end.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's Tony, and how does that ring true with you when you see what Tony went through in the last year?
Well, I think Tony, he's exactly right. It's your priorities, and I think Tony understands his. I think we all have to set our priorities in our life, and I know Tony's as well as mine. It starts with our faith, our family, and then our occupation, and some people might look at that like, are you kidding me? But that's the truth, and I think how Tony explained it there is very, very true.
Well, finally, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. And obviously, you took a step into the playoffs this year. What's your big hope for this coming year?
Well, obviously, to continue to do that. And I think that was always our plan. That was our plan in Tampa. That was Tony and my plan, and Lovey's, too. I think we always used to sit around and think about one thing and one thing only. Basically, the only way you can get to win a world championship, you have to get in the tournament. And you have to make your players understand the tournament is that's what this thing's about, getting in the tournament and then winning when you get in the tournament. And if you do that and you win enough of them, obviously you'll do what Tony did last week. You'll win a championship. And it's to be a consistent playoff team, a team that every year you're vying to get in the playoffs, you're trying to win your division. And your players have to believe that. You know, they can't be satisfied with getting in the playoffs and maybe winning a game or so, and then you're out, and then 2 or 3 years go by and you don't get back in, and then you wait to get back in. I just think you want to be one of those teams that is recognized through the league. This is a perennial playoff team. They always have a chance to get in, and when they get in, they can win, and they got a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Herman, I wouldn't be earning my bucks if I didn't ask you this question. If you had to do it over again, at the beginning of the second half of that playoff game, would you still put in Trent Green, or would you go to Damian?
Yeah, absolutely. There was only 18 plays in the first half. And, you know, you blame everything on the quarterback, and you can't do that, because that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been around football long enough, and I've been around long enough. When you only have 18 plays on offense, it's really not an indicator of what you're trying to do.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, my friend, and I have a feeling all three of you will be back in the playoffs next year.
Well, thank you, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Herman Edwards. Thank you, sir. Tomorrow's show, we're going to talk with one of the great athletes in the NBA, Sean Marion, about the Suns, about the pressure and the expectations that are higher this year than ever. Go to Head Games Radio, headgamesradio.com, for all the highlights. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.